We're doing this series called Who is God? And, you know, there's an important reason we're doing this series, because what you think about God is the most important thing that you think. If you think God is this punishing God like Pastor Chase talked about last week, then you're going to run from him. But if you think God is a God who loves you and he died for you, you're going to run to him, right? And so what you think about God is essential. And today we're talking about the unchanging God in an ever-changing world. That God is immutable. He is unchanging. This world is changing, hey? Yes? Man, do you remember? I just thought of this. Phones used to hang on the wall. Does anybody have a phone hanging on the wall now? I would just love to know. Christian does. You have a phone hanging on the wall? I don't believe it. Mom says no. They don't even know what it is. There are so many things that are so different now that our young people don't even know that we experienced years and decades ago. It's kind of interesting that I'm talking about the unchangeable God on a week when everything changes here, right? Yeah, they had me painting all week. You like how I did this? All by myself. No, I didn't do it. I'm kidding. I want to take credit for it because it looks so good. But no, we had a great team of people. We had a guy named JJ who is a killer painter, and his team that were here and just helping us refresh this place, make it a place where God truly can be worshipped and people can experience God's love. So I remember way back when I first got here, these walls, I just thought, you know, with all the faux painting, anything, how wonderful it is that we are providing this great environment to love people. Don't you think? And now that's what we're doing now. We're updating it because we think it's important, not just that we have a cool-looking space, but that it's an environment where people feel welcomed, where people feel loved. And we thank you that you're a part of it in your giving. We thank you that you'll be a part of it in some of the service activities that will happen in the next months to help continue to make this move forward. But, you know, there's a lot of change that's happening. And how many people like change? Oh, you're such liars. Nobody likes change. The only person I know who really liked change was Pastor Eric. He loved anything. Everything could change all at once. He didn't care. But almost everybody I know, they'll say they like change. But when it happens, they get all stressed out. Like me, I get stressed out when there's change, right? My wife will tell you for sure. You know, and this whole society is designed on a path of change. You know, there's the new and improved. Like, how many times can you have new and improved Tide? I mean, come on. Every year, Tide is new and improved. Give me a break. The only reason why they do it is to keep us interested, right? But God never needs to be new and improved. He already is the best he could ever be. The most perfect, most wonderful, most powerful, most loving, most all-knowing God that there ever is. Knowing that God does not change is one of the most important things we can know about God. And what does it mean for God to be immutable or unchangeable? And many of you know that our series, this series on Who is God, is based on a small book by A.W. Tozer with some very deep thoughts called The Knowledge of the Holy. It's a great book. I encourage you to read it. But this is what he says about God's immutability. He says, to say that God is immutable is to say that he never differs from himself. Interesting thought, huh? He never differs from himself. When we see God, we are not going to be surprised that tomorrow he is going to be different. He is not going to be different. He's going to be the same, right? So he never differs from himself. And the concept of a growing or developing God is not found in the scriptures. Let me say that again. The concept of an ever-developing God is not found in the scriptures. God did not say, did not describe himself as, I will be new and improved every year. In our culture, there's a lot of thoughts about God. One of these thoughts is that God can improve, that he could become better than he already is, and even that we can improve in that way and maybe attain some level of recognition for that. And I tell you, the Bible is very clear that there is no progression for God. God is who he is, who he is, who he is. And that is one of the great things about the nature of God. It brings a lot of life to us. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Nothing that God has ever said about himself will be modified. Nothing the inspired prophets and apostles have said about him will be rescinded. His immutability guarantees this. The concept of an unchanging God is really hard to understand in the concept of an ever-changing world. This world changes all the time. Yes? We change jobs, we change clothes, we change opinions, we change our likes and dislikes, we change friends, we change houses, we change states sometimes. How many of you have moved to a different state? How many of you have moved here to Utah from another state? Cool, that's great. It's a great place to live, huh? God's doing an awful lot here, I'll tell you. I'm involved with a lot of the pastors in this state, and it's thrilling to see what God is doing in the local culture. Radical things are happening beneath the surface. We don't all know about it, but they're happening, and God is doing amazing things. But a lot of change takes place. Hebrews 13:8, which it's kind of funny. I could usually point to it. It's been over that door for over a decade because it's the scripture that is the key scripture for our group as a denomination, Foursquare, which says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and what?
Forever.
Jesus Christ, say it with me. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is our key scripture today. The focus is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same. We're not going to find the sameness in our culture. We're not going to find, as we'll talk about in a little while, the sameness in the mountains even. The things that look so very, very permanent are not going to be the same and are changing and will fall away. But Jesus Christ is the same. God is the same. He is the same, meaning he never changes. He is the same yesterday in all of history. We can look at the Old Testament and we can see that God is the same. It's the reason we have the Old Testament is so that we can see that history proclaims the goodness of God. History proclaims the faithfulness of God. History proclaims the love, the passionate love that he has for his creation. History. He is the same yesterday. And he is the same today. Aren't you glad? That we could look at that history, we could see the power of God in history, and we could know that power of God is for us today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We will never be surprised that God is different. We will never look and think, oh, God said he was like this, but now he's saying he's like this. That will never happen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? We're going to look at that today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever in three specific areas that we want to focus on. The first is his character. He is the same in his character that he was before, now, and in the future. Yesterday, today, and forever. His character, his love, his power, his omniscience. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever in his character. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever in his commitment. It's an important thing to know that God's not going to change his commitments. I get changed commitments all the time. Sorry, there's someone more important that I have to meet with, so can we change our appointment? Right? There's all kinds of commitments that get changed in our lives, that we make ourselves, that the world makes about us and about life here. Commitments change. But Jesus Christ is the same in his commitment that he was then, he is now, and he will always be. What a great thing that is. I can't wait to talk about it. And the next is about his concern, his love for us. Jesus Christ, his love, his concern for mankind, for you and for me, is the same yesterday as it is today, as it is tomorrow. What a comforting thing to know. What a healing thing to know that God loves us. It's an everlasting love. So let's start with this first point about how God is unchanging yesterday, today, and forever. The first is in his character. In his character. In Psalm 102, it says this, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." Here is this description of the earth. If we look at those Wasatch Mountains, or the Ochre Mountains, never knew how to say that word when I first moved here. It took me weeks and weeks to learn how to say ochre. Come on, you too, right? Yes. Ochre. Love that word, ochre. So, I shouldn't have changed my sermon here. Okay, so God is describing some of the things that seem the most unchangeable. The mountains, the earth, the oceans. These things have been around for as long as man can see them. And yet his description is they are just going to slough off and roll away. But God will remain. That's a radical understanding that the most seemingly permanent things are completely impermanent in the light of who God is, his power, his grace, his love, his character, his commitment, and his concern for us. Malachi 3:6 says this, "I, the Lord, do not change." How clear can you get? I don't change. I don't change. And this was in related to destruction of a people. He said, "I don't change. My commitment is for you. My commitment is for you." He is unchanging in all the aspects that we've talked about so far in this series. And this series is coming to the end in the next few weeks. But he's unchanging in his holiness. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his holiness will never pass away. He was holy way back when. That means that he is perfect in his love. He is perfect. He will never sin. He will never do something that's wrong. Aren't you glad that God is good? Chase talked about that last week. God is good. We can know that God is never going to get mad and do something like squish you with his thumb and then say, "Man, I wish I didn't do that." He is never going to do that because he is the same in his holiness. As he was then, and he is now, and he will always be. He is saying the same in his sovereignty. He rules the world. He rules the world. And in the book of Revelation, we see that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. How many times is that brought up in the book of Revelation? It's important for us to look at the book of Revelation and see, hey, in the end, in the forever, God is King of kings and Lord of lords. Still, he was, he is, and he will always be King of kings, Lord of lords. There is no more powerful being in all of beingdom. It is him. It is him. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is sovereign. He is self-existent. He doesn't require us. He doesn't require anything. He doesn't require anything to exist except himself. And so we don't have to worry at all, not even a little bit, that he won't be there for us in eternity and eternity and eternity. He will be there. He's not going to run out of power. He's not going to come up to kryptonite and get weak and say, I'm sorry, I know I promised I'd take care of you, but I'm a little weak today. I can't take care of you. That's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. We are not going to see one day a more powerful God. He is perfectly powerful. He needs no improvement, and he will never diminish in his glory. Ever, ever. How do we see change in us? This is what Tozer says. The immutability of God appears in its most perfect beauty when viewed against the mutability of men. In God, no change is possible. In men, change is impossible to escape. So we're very different. It's really wonderful to know that we are different than God. This is one of the best things to know about God, is that he is wholly other, and we're a bunch of schmoes who he loves with his everlasting love. Amen. Right? And he is wholly different than us. And so it's really hard for us to think, because we can only think in schmodom. I'm just making this up right now. I don't know what schmodom is, but it sounds good. Sounds like something out of Lord of the Rings, doesn't it? So we can only think in our limited understanding of God. But he is amazing, and he is all-powerful. And he's thinking so different than us. And so we have to ask him to show us who he is so we can get that inkling that when we go through a trial, when we go through some struggle, that we can know that God's not changing. He's not changing from yesterday when you had peace because of the goodness of God, the grace of God in your life. And now today you have a trial and he's changed. He hasn't changed one bit. His love for you is there. His power for you is there. His promises for you is there. His passion for you is there. The worst thing can happen to you, and he is still the same. You work in the area of change. God works in the area of saying, I am still in love with you. I am still covering you with my promises. I still care for you. I still protect you. I have saved you. I have poured out my grace upon you. Regardless of your situations, the change that takes place in your life. Our changing character is something that can do damage to us. You know, I constantly surprise myself with this very thing. I really do. I surprise myself with this because, you know, sometimes I could be the best saint, and then sometimes I'm the worst sinner. How about you? You don't have to raise your hand. I mean, I surprise myself that my character seems to fluctuate with circumstances and situations. Sometimes I could be praising the Lord and encouraging others, and sometimes I could be really angry and doing things that are doing damage to my soul as well as maybe souls to others, you know? And it damages us. And when we go through this up and down and we're surprising ourselves in who we are, I mean, come on, this is you too, right? Yeah. It's not just me, it's all of us. And when we're like this, it's very hard to know who we are. It's very hard to know who we are and understand who God made us to be. It's only through God's grace, God's power, God's Holy Spirit, that we could start understanding who we are. Because there, all this change is taking place in our brain. Isn't it amazing what happens in here? My goodness, if this was on a whiteboard, I'd be in big trouble, don't you think? Well, so would you. Yeah. So would you. You'd probably, you know, what? Oh, not as much as me? Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that.
Love you,
Without God, it's impossible for us to know who we are because of all those crazy things that change in our soul. Our character. It's being built by God. But until God lines it up, until God really transforms it, you never know what's going to happen. You could always be surprised. Someday you wake up and you're who knows what, right? God is unchanging also in his commitment, his covenants, his promises. And we could see that in history. In 1 Samuel 15, it says, "He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind." He's the glory of Israel. He does not lie. He does not change his mind. I lie. I change my mind. I'm confused. Right? Yes? Come on. Yeah? If I'm going to point to myself first, we need to have some amens in the audience to make myself feel a little better, okay? But he is not changing his mind about us. Amen? He is not changing his mind about us. Do you ever wonder who that person is that you woke up next to if you're married? It's like, whoa, what happened? Who is that person? They're changing their mind all the time. I'm surprised, but my poor wife, I feel so bad for her because she is constantly trying to keep up with me. I sometimes have to keep up with her too. And sometimes we get in this circle where we are constantly changing our minds, both of us, and we're kind of like frozen in time, changing our minds all the time. Have you ever done that? I do. We do. It's funny. This is the truth. We can wake up and be surprised by who we are or who others are. But when we wake up from death, we are not going to be surprised. God is going to be God. This is an amazing point of peace, you guys, to know that we live in a world of change. But God never changes. Now, you know you're going to meet God face to face sometime, right? You're either going to meet him face to face when you die, or you're going to meet him face to face when he comes someday soon, I hope. And he comes and we see him in the sky all together, and he comes to take us all back. Either way, we're going to meet him. And we are not going to be surprised about who he is, because he's been telling us. He's been telling us in history. He's been telling us in the present. He's been telling us as the future unfolds in his word, in his actions. He is God. God's eternal covenants. This commitment is so key to understand. It makes such a big difference for our lives. When we look at the commitments of God, in Psalm 105:8, it says, "He remembers his covenant forever, the promises he made for 1,000 generations." What would it be like if we truly got this? If it just wasn't some knowledge in our head, but it really got into our souls, that our minds would be transformed, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, as it talks about in Romans 12, that we realized this very thing. This very thing, this scripture that talks about him keeping his covenants. He remembers his covenants forever. The promises he made for 1,000 generations. He made that covenant to Abraham. When we look in history, we see that he made that covenant to Abraham. A covenant that all the nations would be blessed because of Isaac, because of his offspring. Isn't that true today? The reason why we are blessed, the reason why we know Jesus Christ, is because of God's covenant to Abraham. The kingship, the Messiah lineage of Christ comes from a covenant that he made to David thousands of years ago, saying, "Your lineage, it will always be on the throne." And that is the Messiah Christ, the King Christ. So yesterday speaks a lot to us. Yesterday speaks in Jeremiah 31 about a new covenant where God will place his spirit in our lives, in our hearts, and the law will be in our hearts. It won't be some external thing you got to do. It'll be the Holy Spirit drawing us and leading us into obedience. Has this happened? Yes, this has happened. This is the covenant. This is the commitment of history, of yesterday. And now today we could grab hold of this and know that his covenant, his promises are yes and amen in Christ for us today. Can you see how this works? God did it then, and he said, I'm going to do it now, and I'm going to do it forever. What a great thing to know. How transforming it is for our lives to know that when all of this changes, all of it changes, and it will, that we have a God who has given us eternal promises, eternal covenants that will never change. They are rock solid. We can stand on them and not be fearful. We don't have to be anxious because God is God and he never changes. Our changing commitment. If you look at the world, we see the changes in commitment that happen. You know, some of you might get this, and if you do, you're really, really old. And that is that, you know, way back when, there used to be a time when you'd work for a company and you'd work for them for your whole life. And they were committed to you and you were committed to them, right? And so they wouldn't fire you unless you did something really, really awful. And you would be a part of this company, and you'd grow, and you'd be identified with this company. And you also would not look to go and find a better job, because you know what? We have this commitment to each other. And at the end of you working and you're old, you got a what? A pension. All those people who know that are very old. A pension. A pension. We don't even know what that is today. A pension is this money that was put aside. Maybe you put some in, the company put some in, and now you could live off of it in retirement. Now it's Social Security, but that wasn't necessary in the old days because everybody had a pension from the company. And so that kind of commitment, it was almost a covenant, was something that people lived with. Probably the most powerful covenant that we can look at as people is the vow, the covenant of marriage. What a powerful thing it is that we are covenanting together, that, you know, regardless of the painful hurts of what happens in our lives, that we are going to be connected together. And you know, if you've gone through anything like this or you're struggling with it now, I just want to say, don't allow the enemy to get on your case and condemn you for this. We live in a changing world. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of moving parts here. But the reality is God is not going to say one day, you know what? I told you 100 times you need to change. And so you know what? Time for a divorce. God is not going to say that. He is not going to say that. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he is not going to divorce you. He has committed himself to you, and that will never change. From yesterday, even before you were born, he committed to you. Even before you knew what existence was, he had already committed to you, and he is committed to you today. If you doubt the fact that the Lord is committed to you today, know that you are in his hands, and he has committed himself to you if you've asked him to be your Lord and Savior. He is committed to you, regardless of your circumstances or your situations. And then in the future, there is no doubt, there is no worry, there is no circumstance that can come up. There's nothing bad enough that you could do that God is going to come up to you one day and say, you know what? It's over. He's never going to do that. Come on, isn't that incredible? Yeah. He is never going to do that. He is never going to do that. Now, people, that's another story, right? It's hard. But God wants to bring healing for every person, every person. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but healing. Healing. And that kind of gets us to our third point, which is God is unchanging in concern. That is his love, his care for us. His love and his care for us is evident in the past. It's evident in the past. It is here for us in the present and will always be here for the future, yesterday, today, and forever. God does not get distracted. He's busy doing things and he forgets you. He hasn't forgotten you. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is overlooked by a lot of people. And it's this woman that Abraham had a child with, so that because he knew that God had given him a promise, and he didn't know how that promise was going to happen. And so he took his future in his own hands, which is always a bad idea. And so they had a baby together that was Sarah's nurse. And when finally the great promise came of Isaac, that Isaac was the child of the promise came, Sarah was very uncomfortable with this woman, and said, you know, we should just move her out. Not the best thing to do, not very compassionate, but she did it. And you can see God's heart in this, is that, you know, so she and her son, they went into the desert. And God sought her out. God sought her out. Here was this woman. She was not a part of the promise, but God knew her. And when she was touched by the Lord, she said, "You are the God who knows me. Who knows me." That's radical. That God cares about us that much. Even the least of the least. She wasn't a part of the promise. She wasn't a part of the family. She was asked to leave. The least of the least. God sought her out and loved her and blessed her. And she said, "You are the God who knows me." And he knows each one of us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he cares for us. He loves us. There are 30 instances of the phrase, "His love endures forever," in the Bible. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. How powerful is that, you guys? How powerful is that? James 1 says this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change in shifting shadows." You know how you set up a candle and you see the shadows go from place to place? That's us. That's our experience. That's the experience of this world. But God doesn't do that. He never changes. He never changes. All the gifts that he's poured out to us, he is never going to take back. Romans 11 says that, "For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable." Irrevocable. The things that he has thought in his heart to give to you, they are there. No matter what you've done. No matter how you've struggled. No matter what you're thinking today. His gift of salvation, his gift of love, his gift of protection is there for you now. You might feel like today you are the furthest away from God that you have ever been. But God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. I remember how far away I was from God. I was living in Los Angeles. I had known God. I've loved God. But in my insanity, I ran away. In my insanity, in that day, I was doing drugs that night. I was doing cocaine that night. Must have done at least a gram myself. Just crazy amount of drugs. I was drinking. And I woke up and I had a splitting headache and I was worn out. And I was looking around, not literally but figuratively, at my life. And I was seeing that people were dying around me. This was no life. And so I thought to myself, I'm the furthest away from God I could ever be, and yet I need to go back to God. And so I just turned my head just a little, Just a little. It is the first move that I could possibly make, the smallest move I could possibly make, was just to turn. And out of my peripheral vision, I saw the hand of God, and he just grabbed me and brought me back. That's the love of God. The gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. He is right there. He is right there to tell you wherever you're at, I love you with an everlasting love. What's our changing concerns? Our changing concerns, they change all the time. Our likes, our dislikes, our loyalties, these things change all the time. This is what Tozer said about it. Of what use to me is the knowledge of God, that he is immutable? In this world where men forget us, yes? Change their attitude towards us, yes? Yes? Are you there? Yes? Oh, thank you. As their private interests dictate and revise their opinion of us for the slightest cause. Have you ever seen that happen? Is it not a source of wondrous strength to know that the God with whom we have to do changes not? That his attitude towards us now is the same as it was in eternity past, as it will be in eternity to come. His attitude towards us never changes. What effect does immutability have on our lives? The first is because of an unchanging character, we can truly know God. We can truly know God. God is not going to surprise you today and say, well, this is who I am today, and tomorrow I'm somebody else. In this world, there's a lot of different opinions about God. Depending on how you feel, depending on if you ate pizza and you have indigestion today, you might have a different opinion about God. That's the way the world is. But God never changes in his character. And because of that, we can know the all-powerful, almighty God. That's a radically powerful thing, that we can know him. Hebrews 1 says this, he also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They'll be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. We can trust the Lord that he is always going to be the same. The one that we stand on the foundation. We have a foundation in God, and that stance will never be shaken. I remember going through the 1989 earthquake in California. I was in a car riding on a main street, and I felt like I was on the ocean. The road was going like this. This is a major road. The traffic lights were flopping like in some kind of cartoon. It was crazy. This is the way our world is. Sometimes we have surprises like an earthquake, but most of the time change is happening all the time. But God never changes. His commitment, his character is there for us. Amen. 1 John 5:20 says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. We may know him. What a great thing to know God. What a great thing to know that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can know the God of history. We can know the God of the present. And we can know the God of the future. We can know him and find security and safety in him. Because of his unchanging commitment, we can be safe in him. He is committed to us. These covenants that he's made, they are for us. These promises in the Word of God, they are yes and amen in Christ. It says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ for us. For us. Hebrews 13 says, I will never leave you or forsake you. No matter what your circumstance, no matter how much trouble you're in, no matter what struggle you're facing, he will never leave you or forsake you. Because of his unchanging concern, we can be healed by him. His love is always for us. We can find security in him. Let me tell you, we talk about this in base camp. It's so important to know that if you don't understand your security in Christ, not just up here, but truly in your soul, understand that regardless of what you're going through, you are secure in his promise, his covenants, his character, his concerns. If you don't know that, it's very, very difficult to grow. It is very difficult to thrive. I would say it is impossible to thrive in your relationship with the Lord if you do not know your security in the Lord at some level. It is the thing that provides this. It's like the greenhouse that provides the opportunity for all these things that are going to come into your life. All these things, all these issues, good and bad, that are going to come. This is the greenhouse, and you can grow because you know that you're secure and you can grow. Regardless of life's ups and downs, you are secure in Christ. He is the anchor. In Hebrews 6, it says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, of which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hopes set before us may be greatly encouraged. And that's the healing, that we would find this incredible encouragement that regardless of what we face, the change in our lives, our promises from God, our concern from God, the character and nature of God does not change. And we could be healed. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament. It's a story of Balaam and Balak. And Balak is the king of the Moabites, and he just saw Israel really slay a whole bunch of nations. And so he's a little worried about what's going to happen with his country, Moab. And so he calls this guy Balak, who's supposed to be a prophet. And he says, could you please curse these people so I can get an advantage against them? And Balak says, well, I can ask God, but, you know, it has to be up to God what I do. I can't curse him if he doesn't let me. And so three times, Balak went to God to say, hey, can I do this? Hey, can I curse Israel? And God said no every time. And Balak, you know, he was given money. There were sacrifices that were made. There was a lot of pressure put on him. And he kept going to God and saying, come on, God, can't we do something different here? You know, can't your character change enough so that, you know, we can curse Israel? Can't your commitment change just a little so that I can curse Israel? Because I'm going to get a lot of goodies out of this. I'm going to get a lot of prestige and money. And you know, I might even get in trouble if I can't do this. And God three times said no. Three times said no to Balaam. And God says through Balaam, he says, then he, Balaam, spoke his, God's message. Arise, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not a human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. I want to tell you guys something important. This guy went three times to say, God, change. God, change. Change your attitude. Change your character. Change your commitment. Change your concern for Israel. And God said no. And he says no about us too. Amen. You guys getting this? Dave, you know, the devil, he's coming to us all the time, and he's coming to the Lord, and he's accusing us before God, and God says no. God says no. I will not change my mind. I will not change my commitment to my people. I will not change my concern for those who love me. I love them with an everlasting love. I will not change my concern. We're going to have Tyrone come up right now and share a little about this. He's in our small group, and he's been a part of our church for a long time, and he is a great example, a powerful example of how how God doesn't change even though we do.
Hello, my name is Tyrone, but I'm better known as Angela's husband. Fact of life. Yeah. Well, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 1996, and I used to work with Pastor Ira. We used to do CNA work. I was a CNA, and he was the chaplain. From 1996 to 2012, I continued to work. But in 2009, the Lord spoke to me, and he told me to do, to trust, to give, because he gave. James 1:2-2 says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Yeah. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosoms. So with that, he told me, because he gave, he said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now, if you believe in him, you believe in his word. And his word said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He said he is the same as Pastor Ira. I'm just echoing a little bit. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord God. I change not. So even though my circumstances have changed from MS, from, you know, I used to be an athlete playing ball, working and everything. My circumstances changed, but God has never changed.
Amen.
So whatever you're going through, know that he has you in his unchanging hands. Thank you.
Amen. Let's thank Tyrone. Awesome. I didn't do this first service, but, you know, it's very easy to see that change and to think that God, you know, what's up, God? But, you know, I worked with him. He mentioned it. It's your fault I'm saying this because you reminded me of that. And I can't tell you how powerful it was to the people that we worked with, that here was a man who was struggling with his health, and yet he believed fully in the promises and the call of God in his life. And he accomplished more in his weakness than he ever could have done in his strength, because God did it in and through him. Amen. Amen. So I thank you for that example, Terry Rowe. It's awesome. Why don't you stand with me right now? We're going to close. And you know, there was a hymn. I'm not going to make you sing a hymn. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to sing it. Jody doesn't allow me to sing. But this was written by Edward Mote in 1834. And it's something that I felt like the Lord wanted to help us close the service off with. So I just encourage you to close your eyes right now as I read these words of this hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest upon his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. In him my righteousness alone. All faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, say it with me, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And let me tell you one of the most amazing things about the unchangeable nature of God. Christ is going to come to us, as I said. He's either going to come to you as you shed your earthly body, or he's going to come to all of us as he returns. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." When you see God face to face, you see the unchanging God face to face, we will all be changed. In a twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed by his wonderful love, by his incredible character, by his commitment and his concern for us. We will be changed. And it starts today. It starts today. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are here to change us. You are the unchanging God. You change not. And yet, in this glorious, immutable state, you can bring change to our souls, change that changes us forever, that heals us, delivers us, helps us know you. You can bring change.